Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome back to another episode of the Street Alpha Podcast. I am your host, Tooks, and we are in Florida once again. But we are out here at Monster Performance with Lee and Haitian. Let's clap it up for Lee and Haitian. So for those of you guys who don't know who Lee is, he's known to have one of the fastest RBs in the country. Or highest horsepower.
Highest horsepower, for sure. I haven't highest seen another one.
So you guys have seen him on TRC.
Yes.
Right? Drifting as well with Adam LZ.
Yep.
You've seen him on other YouTube channels as well. And he also builds 2Js.
Yes.
Well, right? So you're like a JDM guy.
Yeah, JDM guy. Inline 6.
Inline
Toyota
6.
And Nissan. I didn't cut it there.
Okay. So we have a lot of questions about this platform, specifically the RB26 and the RB25. Mm-hmm. And you have an RB30 in your car.
Yeah.
With the stroker.
Yep. 3.2. Yeah.
So how much does it make?
Right now it makes like 1150, but we added all the way up to 1250. We have more in there, but not in a dyno.
Okay.
So, you know, can't speak of numbers that we ain't put down.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. So if you guys want to check out his build or any of his content, you have a YouTube channel as well,
yes.
Right?
Yes. It's Lee Bird on YouTube. It's Lee Bird on IG. And it's Lee Bird on TikTok, Facebook, everywhere.
Yeah. So he pretty much documented all of...
Yeah, I do a lot of vlogging with the drifting and some of the builds at the shop, and obviously in an R34. Every time we break something or we go in racing, we do some vlogs with that.
Well, first of all, why'd you choose Nissan?
That would definitely be on my dad. When I was young, you know, he had Nissans pulling motors, but back then he was swapping a diesel into a Nissan for, you know, diesel was cheap, so
yeah.
He's doing that. And this is back in Trinidad when I was younger. So just growing up watching him just working on Nissan is what kind of got me into it. And after coming here to the U.S., because I'm from Trinidad, born and raised till I was 12, then came to New York, started getting into the car scene as far as like the video games, you mm-hmm. know. And same thing, just Nissan on the video games, Gran Turismo, Skylines, 240s, 300ZX, Supras, but you know. It was mostly Nissan, and as soon as I got my license, the first thing I bought was a Nissan 240SX.
240. Is that like a cultural thing?
We get
and 2Js too, like.
Yeah, but it's mostly we get all the stuff like you guys don't get here in America.
Right.
So we end up with all the weird Nissans and the weird Toyotas and
so
stuff.
So it's legal over
thing.
There technically.
Yeah,
right?
It's normal cars over there. Is
normal
what it
cars.
Is. It's not fancy JDM imports like here in the US. It's
lucky.
Literally just like taxis and
yeah
regular stuff.
Canada is the same thing, right?
Yeah,
they kind of get
Canada got get quite a bit, but they don't get more of like the stuff you never heard of.
Okay.
You know, like a Primera, people don't know what that is, you know. That's literally
I don't even know what that is.
That's like a G20 or a Nissan Sentra 200SX, like.
Oh yeah, like okay.
A Sentra in Trinidad is totally different from a Sentra in the US.
So does it make more power? Is it like a big deal?
It's like a Sentra in Trinidad is a 200SX here. But we have a bunch of different ones. It goes B13, B14, B15, chassis codes, SR20 cars, which in the US, you guys didn't get that. You got, you know, non-turbo, nothing, you know.
I don't know why I'm asking about Canada, but they always get the cars, the rare cars there too. But is it legal? Like, there's no 25-year rule. Only
no, it's no 25-year rule. Actually, there it's backwards. In the islands, it's harder to get an older car. They want you to get the new cars. So, pretty much like you guys had to wait 25 years to get the cars. We got to get it then and there when it's out. If it's too old, they don't want you to import it anymore.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How do you guys know each other? I kind of want to include him in the conversation too.
Oh, like, gosh. Well,
he's sitting there he's sitting there staring at me like.
He bought a car.
Okay.
From us over here. But at Monster, when it was just Monster shop. And then, you know. We did drifting. He started getting into drifting. I should probably let him tell a story. You know, Jai, we can include him.
So. Oh, man.
Yeah, so he can tell a story. He's going to sell out a little bit, but, you know, he's my boy. You know, he's like a brother. So
well,
I'll let him say what he got to say.
We know each other longer than that. But
so you guys are friends before cars?
Well, he an old head, you know, so at the end of the day.
He said, like, wait, how old are you guys?
I'm 35.
Okay.
I'm 27.
Also, I guess I'm an old head too because I'm 32, bro. Damn.
Damn.
In between. Dusty.
In between. I mean, we've known of each other, but like, yeah, like he said, I bought that 240 and that was my first 240. And then I would go to the compound and see him. You see everybody, you know, the whole team. And I would just go and do my own solo laps and leave. And then I forgot what happened again. And then I started coming back.
He cutting out a piece of story because he don't want to put me on blast. But he's so cold. He beat me in his Honda one time at my Nissan.
Oh, so you're
on the street.
He's a Honda guy.
He's a Honda boy.
He
used to be a Honda boy.
Okay.
I know he don't want to put me out there, but I think he may have beat me. You know what I'm saying? I don't have no proof. Ain't no video. You never really happened. Okay. But he always brings it up saying he beat me one time, you know? So that's where I probably met him first. And then after he bought the car is where the friendship kind of started because I started seeing him more. And you know, he's coming around doing his little lap, running away from drifting and stuff like that. Because he was really a Honda boy, you know, trying to be a loner or whatever.
What kind of Hondas?
Just like EK hatch. You know, B-series type thing.
B-series,
you know?
Okay.
Like Honda boy, welded front diff, you know, just crazy
That was
stuff.
One time. Yeah, horrible. Don't ever weld your front diff.
Welded front diff?
Yeah,
welded front
diff. You'll die. Imagine just the car, like you turn and it just, you let go of the steering wheel and it goes straight every time, like snap straight.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty scary.
Wow, I've never heard of that.
Good times.
But it works, though.
Yeah, it works. Cheap LSD.
This compound, you that's local to here, right?
I'm assuming. Yeah, so it's like 20 minutes from here. It's pretty much like an abandoned development.
Abandoned.
Have. Yeah.
I thought you owned that for some reason. Because I'm like, yo, how do you just go there and just...
I mean, I'm there like we own it, or you know, but it's not mine. It's not me to tell who to go there. But we used to go out there. We still go now. We just don't go as often as we used to. And it just had like a drift track layout. And that's where everybody learned. And I always say, if you learn the compound, you're going to be a good driver because it's pretty sketchy. You go off-road, you know, bumper's definitely gone, breaking arms, bending tie rods. But we would go out there, like, religiously, like, every weekend, probably sometimes in a week, nighttime.
How many years ago was this? Drift.
This is
over 10.
Yeah, like, it's like over 10 years, probably.
Oh, damn. Yeah, so you guys have been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
Wait, so 10 years ago, so you were like, 17.
Young.
Yeah.
Just getting into it.
So,
and that's what I think that's when we raced, like probably when he was young, right?
Yeah, I was probably like 18.
Yeah,
19.
He's right there. Yeah, like he's right in that
second
range.
Second car.
Yeah.
So, how long does it take to get like good at drifting? I don't say good because
it depends on how much you drive, really. Because it's one of those things, the more you do it, the better you get. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
because it just starts feeling natural. So, like, if you did it like once a week, every month, you definitely get better than the guy that did it once a month because, you know, it just turns to like muscle memory.
Right.
Obviously, it is some skill required there, but once you start getting accustomed to the feeling of the car being sideways, you just kind of know what to do in a sense. And especially at the compound, it's like, it's either you stay on the road or you go in a ditch. So you had to get good pretty fast out there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's not really like... You just be getting dedicated to lose a lot of money.
So,
pretty much.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah, pretty much.
So what is the most common thing? I'm assuming it's tires, right?
Yeah, tires.
Tires.
And like I tell everybody, the better you get, the more tires you're going to use. You know what I'm saying? So just like when you're not good, you can use one set and go out three times and you'll be all right. Then you get good, you need three sets to go out one time. So
I see.
Yeah.
I see. So how long did it take you to... get decent, I guess.
See,
at drifting,
that's the thing. It's like being with this man and our team, like just starting off, they really push you. Like, so it's like, I feel like it took what, like maybe like 4 months, like yeah, like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah,
and then it's like just getting pushed in the and leading the train. Like,
yeah,
you know what that sounds like.
Yo,
like
that's
crazy. So basically, it's just like 4 cars, 5 cars, and you're in front, and it's like you messed up, everybody crashes, and you know, now everybody's car is totaled.
Right.
Has it happened?
Yeah.
So everybody's macked?
Yeah, at least 3 or 4
together.
Cars smacked.
I've done it before.
I've definitely lost a chassis because of him.
A whole car?
Yeah.
Whole car, yeah.
Freshly finished G35. We go to one event. I don't know if he got brake check or what.
Oops.
Smack. Total. Chassis bent. Frame dented in. Yeah, just Totally.
Were you pissed, or you kind of know, you know, it's there's a chance that could happen?
It's part of it. I mean, I was pissed, but like, I'm not really mad at him. I know what we're getting into. That's part of drifting. It's
well, and I'm not him. Saying like, in general, if you mack your car, somebody smashes into it.
If anybody had to be mad at him, because he was the one in front, caused the accident.
But this is the good thing, though. My car was fine.
That's great.
Yeah.
My car was fine. Yeah.
No, I'm just joking.
Anybody can go to this compound, or?
Yeah, I mean.
Like, we can go right now.
Yeah. Risk it for the biscuit. You're on your own. Cops come. Sometimes they don't come. They arrest people. Sometimes they don't. Hey.
Also, they do go there.
Yeah, cops definitely show up randomly.
Yeah, we don't have any of that in New York.
Oh yeah.
Have you guys been to New York at all in street race?
Yeah, first place. Oh well, not for the street race, but I used to live there, so I got to see a little bit of it. You know.
Are you from you? Like,
I
you're
used
not,
to live like Brooklyn, Crown Heights.
Were you watching Honda's race or?
Yeah, it was Honda's. Unfortunately, but Honda's are fast. I'm going to just say that because, you know, there's some fast Hondas out there. It's probably a race out there, me losing to Honda somewhere, but I don't have it, so, you know.
So you did lose to a Honda, though. You told me the other day.
Which Honda?
I don't know. You told me. I asked you.
Yeah, I think it was, I don't know, was it a Hulk or a Frustrate? One of them.
Yeah.
Way back in the days, yeah. But that's because my shit broke. I had them until my shit broke. I did. It's serious, because actually the announcer was like, it's Chris from it was a Javier event, I think it was like Street Kings or something, and he's like, too soon, young boy, cause I threw the hazards on and all, boy. Like, yeah. Half track I was gapping him, my shit broke and Honda went whoa. That was a reality check.
Yeah, don't sleep on Hondas, bro.
Yeah, I'm, okay. I know Hondas are fast, yeah. But it's still a Honda at the end of the day. It's, to me, it's still a Honda.
Aren't you a Honda guy?
Not no more.
But you came. That's what you came.
I wouldn't even touch another Honda. I bought one. Listen, I bought like a whole swap, everything, and then it was just like, sold it off.
Honda was a good friend.
I thought you, okay, so you're not really a Honda guy then.
Not
no more. I mean,
gotcha. Started.
Nah, it doesn't count.
He started out.
Count.
He started out as a Honda.
Because I'm like, how you just let him fucking talk about Hondas like that?
Ain't no Honda drifting, so it doesn't matter, right?
Okay, I mean, all right.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Like, that's not really our main thing. We do mostly drifting. Like, we like drag racing and stuff, but mostly we do is drifting. So ain't really no Hondas drifting. It's one or two of them out there, but it's not like a Honda scene in the drift world, you know?
How did you get your entry into working on, like, 2Js and RBs?
So once I came to Florida here, figured out, you know, car is the thing. That's really what I wanted to do. I had to figure out how to pay for my own stuff and fix my own stuff. So I started like working on friends' cars, my mom's driveway, you know, the regular stuff, breaking stuff, fixing them wrong, doing it over, getting it right. And then once I realized like I started to get good, I was like, damn, I can make money doing this. So I started charging. Obviously in Florida here, the neighbors complain. I had to get a spot, had a little spot with a firefighter guy used to keep his, a Pontiac Firebird. Mm-hmm. You know, the fancy one?
Yeah.
Mike and Ike, what is it? The one with the little thing in the front? Yeah. He had one of those that he stored there. So I used to rent half of the bay from him, and I started doing SR20 swaps on 240s and KA swaps, and that's how I paid for my hobby. And from there, it just kind of grew. And keep going and going and going till we're here now.
So how did you learn the basics, though, of
the
how
basics,
motor works?
You got to really want it and then watch a lot of videos and realize a lot of stuff in the internet is wrong, because you try a lot of stuff you learn on the internet and realize it doesn't work. And then you got to learn on your own. There's no school out there to really say, hey, this is how you turbo a car exactly and this is going to happen. Like, nobody going to tell you, hey, you put a turbo on your car, it's going to blow up if you don't tune it properly, you know? And they'd like, oh yeah, just back the timing off a little bit, put a turbo on there, you know, you change the injector. But back then, obviously, we didn't have all the Haltechs and stuff like that. It's like a Pexy SAFC. So you put that on there and you turn the distributor back and time, and it works 3-4 times, fourth time it blows up. Like, nobody really tells you that, like, on the internet. But probably now, today, you probably could find that information. But back then, it was just trial and error.
But you have to have money to kind of do that, no?
No.
To kind of risk, like, trying to figure things out.
You gotta just not care. Like, you gotta do what you want to do. Like, yeah, you need money, but, like, it's what you use your money for. Is we gonna eat good, or we gonna keep fixing this race car, right? So it's that choice you gotta make. Is like, am I working to fix my car and break it again, or am I just gonna work to have a regular car to drive to work every day? So to me, it's like how much you like it is what the what really makes, like, how far you go with it. You know what I'm saying? You got to, like, really want it to do it. Like, I joined the army, like, literally to get money to build my car, that type of deal. Sign-in bonus, baby. 20 grand. Let's go.
Yeah, it's funny. That's your story is similar to Fernando at O-Star. He was telling me the same thing. He was in the army.
Yeah.
And he was using that money to kind of support his passion for cars. I think that with him, he learned through, like, magazines, looking at magazines and seeing people's builds.
I had quite a bit of YouTube back then still. So, like, Motive DVD, that type of stuff.
Okay.
It had all of those, you know, which you can, you get a clip here, a clip there.
Yeah.
It definitely had, you know, a few people saying how to do a motor swap. Nico Club, the forums, a lot of reading. Like I said, like, the forums had a lot on it back then.
Right.
They were still gatekeeping, but pictures, you can tell from pictures what they did.
Right.
And then one or two guys would share, like, wiring, pinning outs. Because, I mean, to do a swap, it's the same car, but it's the wires are just a little bit different, you know? And if you understand what it, a car needs to run, or for an ECU to power on, you could make a swap run in anything. Your gauges might not work, but you can get the engine to run in any car.
So explain to me what it needs to run.
So pretty much, all right, if you get, back in the days before we had all these fancy computers with all these immobilizers and all that, like an SR20, to get an SR20 to run in a car, you literally bolt it into 240 and it's like eight wires. It's literally power, right?
Yeah.
Which is like, you need switch 12 volts. It's going to have a constant 12 volts. It's going to have ground for the ECU and injector power, I think it was, on the connecting engine bay, and the car will fire up. Now, your gauging stuff wouldn't work. You got a little bit more wiring to do like that. You need RPM, speed signal, you know, all that little stuff for the gauges to work. But if you needed to just run, you can literally start an SR20 on the floor if you had a bucket with a fuel pump and power and ground. You can get it to run.
Yeah.
God, we used to do that to, like, just test an engine if you get, like, before a used engine. Yeah, just fire it up real quick. Let it run for 2 seconds. Here, it's not rod knocking. You know it's good.
Right.
So it's simple, but nowadays, you, good luck.
When it comes to the stuff nowadays, like, for example, like a BMW, there's a bunch of like canvas stuff, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So how does that affect the ease of swapping something into another car?
You got to, like, you got to, if you wanted to swap like one of these newer cars, which a lot of guys are doing, you lose a lot of the fancy stuff like BCM. Which is like a body control module. Like, some of the cars, you can't use that anymore because the older computer doesn't have the right CAN code to talk to the newer stuff. So you put SR20 in FRS or something like that, you have to get an aftermarket ECU that has CAN code. You can't take a stock ECU and expect the dash to work, the power steering to work, the gauges to work. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
It has to be on the same frequency. Oh, you know, CAN code is what they call it.
Any ECUs or any standalones that you recommend for that?
I'm a big Haltech guy. I mean, Haltech, they make life simple. You plug it in, it starts, you know? You ain't gotta be stressing about a base map. They have base map for multiple engines, new and old. And they have a lot of CAN code to work with OEM stuff. So like in FRS, you put a Haltech 2500, you just select FRS and the whole dash works. Power steering works, traction control works with an RB in the car. I've done that before, right? So yeah. So, I mean, I'm pretty sure there are other computers out there that do it, but I mostly use Haltech, so I know my way around that pretty good, and I get it to work.
Do you work on motors at all, or?
Yeah, I work on my own stuff, but he does, like, all the hard stuff, pretty much.
He breaks it.
Do you build his cars, or?
Yeah, I do all the, I like, he helps me, obviously, and, you know, he puts the motor in and all that stuff. I do, like, the welding, the wiring, the tuning, stuff like that, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So you are hands-on.
Yeah, he just does the hard stuff.
He has a 1,000 horsepower super, and he knows it's too much for his tranny. And, yeah, he broke it. Trying to race me, I understand. He's trying to be faster than me.
This is what we're doing?
It's his fault. It's a perfect example, though.
He's like, yo, let's go race. It'll be fine. I got a sequential.
It's not my fault.
All run what drive. You drive.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
No, he said his car is going to be faster because it's lighter. Proved him wrong.
Spinning ain't winning. Neither is.
Yeah.
So how many cars do you have?
Want me to bring the list out?
I don't know. You guys both have a lot of cars.
Yeah.
We had this conversation earlier.
I think I'm at like 15.
15 cars.
Yeah.
Give the viewers and listeners some advice in order for them to be able to acquire even 4 cars, I guess.
Hard work, guys. You got to work hard. That's the first thing you probably got to do is work hard. You got to really want it. And it happened because, I mean, we didn't plan to have these many cars, right? We didn't really plan to have these many cars, but opportunity come up and you take your money and you buy it.
Is this a business for you, though?
Yes.
So you can sell them at any point and make money on them?
Yeah. And a lot of them, we don't pay the top dollar. We bring it to the top dollar. So we'll get something that's not all the way there, and then we'll make it all the way there.
Because you guys aren't paying for labor.
Exactly.
So you guys are working on it yourself.
Yes.
To kind of alleviate that cost.
Yeah, that makes it a lot easier. When you got to pay labor, when you say that, I could understand why you'd say 15 cars is a lot. But to us, it's like, eh.
Yeah, because you could fix it yourself.
Yeah.
But then that's still time. That takes away from your business, no? Because when you have customers come in, you have to obviously fix your own stuff.
You got to
hustle. So that's still money at the end of the day.
Yeah, but so the next thing too with us having a lot of cars, it motivates you to keep going and work harder. And, you know, do more so you could afford it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I work a lot of hours on my cars and customers' cars. Mm-hmm. So we can obviously afford to have that many cars.
Yeah.
Or build that many cars that fast. If you're trying to work 9 to 5 and go home every day and sleep 10 hours, 12 hours, you know, you ain't going to have that many cars unless you just got money, right? So for us to have that many cars, we're going. Like, I mean, he's probably here till like 4 last night.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it is what it is. You got to do what you got to do to get it done.
It's documented too. There's a lot of videos of those long nights, 2 a.m., 4 a.m.
Yeah. And we're still always late to every event we go to.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. I don't know how we do that, but we're always late.
All-nighters and then what? Drive like 7 hours?
Yeah. We'll literally work all night, leave the next day, and still be late to the event.
So you guys just travel with the cars? You don't even fly out to meet the car there, or like just have a car trailer? Because I noticed you drive a lot across the country.
And that's the next thing too, like we do everything ourselves, so we can afford to, like, you know, have that many and have the hobby, because like some people are paying to transport their car and stuff like that. We have our own truck and trailer. We load the car, we drive it to the event, drive it, break it, bring it back, you know. So damn, I wish I could fly everywhere.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Wouldn't it be easier to do that?
Yeah, but then you got to pay somebody to get your stuff there.
I guess that makes sense.
I kind of like it because every time we go somewhere, it's a bunch of us. So it's never like just me and one guy. It's me, him, I got my truck, he got his truck, you know, George got his truck. Everybody got their own car and we're traveling the country. Mm. That's kind of fun. A little bit stressful sometimes because some people like drive slow, you know, but.
That's honestly.
Talking about me.
If it's you, bro, I feel your pain. I'm
nah, it's not him.
Always. Oh, okay. All right, yeah, because I always drive slow.
Our truck's big, like 800 horsepower each.
Yeah, like, no, yeah. Even the trucks are fast.
What are the trucks?
A Ram 3500. He has a 2500.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've probably seen the content where we were talking about the RB first, the RB25 and the RB26.
Yeah.
Can you give your take on that? Because you work with these motors all the time as well, so
as far as what, like speed or power, what, like,
well, we know the RB26 only comes in a GTR, correct?
Right.
And the RB25 seems like it's more common because a lot of people have GTTs,
right?
So when it comes to making power, what do you recommend? What are the limitations and so on?
If you're really like trying to be fast and like really fast and reliable, 3 liter is the way to go. RB30, which is an Australian block, which was a single cam motor. You ditch the head, you put RB26 head or 25 head, piston rods, and that will make the most power, most reliable out of all the RBs, period. I don't care what no one has to say, because it's been proven. All the Australian guys do it. I do it. Pretty much if you want to be fast, you need a 3 liter, because like the 26 is cool. It revs, it's crazy. Blocks always crack in, you know, that type of stuff. I'm not trying to bash on it, but like, 700-800,
okay,
and you want to like live there, a 26 is not going to do it like a 30. Like a 30 will live 1,000, just abuse after abuse, pulls after pulls,
right?
A 25 or 26 will probably make 800-900, but every time you do a bunch of pulls, you got to be like, damn, am I going to crack the block? Because I learned, because I had a 750 horsepower RB26 and all-wheel drive 240, right? I used to street race that back in the days. Nobody knew. Cars fast, just sleeper. And like, I was literally just driving home one day, mm-hmm, and I just did a pull. Car started misfiring. And it didn't show anything wrong, no oil pressure, nothing, injectors, nothing like that. It cracked the middle cylinder. Like, it just split it. Just from, obviously, you know, all the times I've done pulls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
My RB30 now, that has never happened to me. Recently, my drift car motor finally broke. And when I say finally, it's because it lives a horrible life. Like, drifting is just horrible for any motor. I don't care. LS, RB, JZ. It's just a horrible life. And right. This thing lives on the limiter, just overheating all the time for 4 years straight, three different cars just dogging it out. And then it finally broke the crankshaft. And people are like, oh, yeah, I've never seen that before. But I took it apart and everything's perfectly fine. Like the cylinders are fine, the pistons are fine, the rods are fine, the bearings are fine. It's just the 30 can definitely take some abuse. So I feel like if you're building an RB and you want reliable and a lot of power, I just feel like 30 is the way. I mean, more displacement is no replacement, right?
Right, right.
That's what they say.
So you have a stroker in your car, right?
Yeah, I have 3.2 stroker.
Does that make any difference in terms of reliability?
Yeah,
I mean, there's never any reliability when it comes to making that kind of power, but...
Well, yeah, when you make the motor bigger, it's just easier to make power. It's just like, you know, like having an LS, it's a 6 liter. Like, mm-hmm. 500 horsepower is nothing for a 6 liter because it's dispersed over so many cylinders and so many liters.
Right.
Whereas, like, obviously, like a Honda, you know, 1,000 horsepower, you're stressing a Honda. Like, a Honda's stressing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I mean, like, because it's a 1.8, 2.0, 2.4, so... Definitely more displacement helps.
Do you lose like revving higher with the troker? That's a pretty common.
Not really. Anything you rev really high, you shorten the life. So it actually, Jay from Real Street told me, he always asked me, so do you just want to make power or you want reliability? And then he's like, then you choose how much you want to rev it. Because you can rev it to 10K, it'll do it, but it won't do it for as long as it'll do it if you're revving it to 8,000. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So it's like, you got to pick and choose. Yeah, I could be singing 10,000 RPM and sounding good, but you got to be ready to rebuild that motor soon because you're wearing the parts out a lot faster.
Right.
So
is that mostly in the head though?
No, that's literally, I would think it's mostly like on bearings and stuff, honestly. Really? Like you okay. build the head so it can rev more,
right?
But you got to think, you're slinging around a rod. This is why they do like aluminum rods and stuff. The weight of the rod is just going on the crankshaft. Eventually, it's going to wear the bearing faster, especially like 10,000 RPM. That's crazy.
When you're thinking about like RPMs, you're like, for my head, it's always been like the head. And as long as the head's built, because in the Hondas, that's really what it was.
Right.
In order for you to rev out that high, because they normally rev high anyways.
Yeah. And that's why the Hondas could do it though, because they have a little rod. Everything's lighter, it's shorter, so you know it's less, you know, rotated mass, you know. Yeah. Just like a rotary, look at a rotary, you could just rev the thing to the moon, you right. know, and it would be okay. So it's all about throwing that weight around and being balanced. Like, you're not going to be sitting here and revving a 7 liter V8 to 10 grand,
right?
It definitely ain't gonna live long, might just fall apart.
Just that little bit of information kind of makes you think differently about how power works.
And that's like, okay, so I tune a lot of cars and everybody comes, hey, I want this amount of power. And I'm like, well, same thing. Like, you want it to last or you just want a power number? How much times are you going to drive it with that much power?
Right.
You know, like, let's be realistically, you can't use 800 horsepower in a two-wheel drive car every day unless you got a death wish, you know,
mm-hmm.
or you drive around a drag radial and it still sucks because you got to warm them up. So that's why I kind of put in their head, and then they be like, yeah, you're right, you know, turn it down. And then that's why you give them settings. You know, you have the one you could just beat on it all day, and then you have the one where you pull up next to that Honda and you might give you some, so you got to turn it up. You know what I'm saying?
The 2J and the RB, those are both iconic platforms, right? But when you're driving them, what's the difference between the two? Especially when you're revving the motor, when you're trying to pull off, like, do you feel like you have to give it more gas with the 2J as opposed to RB? Do you feel like it's more responsive?
What a lot of people overlook is the same thing I was saying, displacement, like, right? A lot of the guys is not saying, oh yeah, you know, a 1J, you know, everybody's like a 2J, because a 2J is the man in the Toyota world because it's a 3 liter already.
Yeah.
More displacement, you know, iron block, inline six, it's strong. It's definitely stronger than like, you know, a 25 and a 26. So there's that. RB's like number one thing we got is sound, which a lot of people don't care for, but you know, mm-hmm. you hear an RB, you know the difference.
Right.
A Jay-Z is just flatline. Like, it's just, you know, it sounds good, but it's just not an RB. Like, RB sings to you. Yeah. 2Js don't.
What about when you're driving one though? Like the driving experience between
okay,
the two.
Okay, so I have 2J and I have two 2Js. It's definitely not a bad driving experience coming from an RB guy. Like, it takes a lot of abuse also. Like, I mean, people are probably like, damn, he's an R&B guy. But no, like, I get to drive both. So, you know, I can't really say. I'm a Nissan guy to heart, so I'm always going to choose Nissan. Mm-hmm. But a 2J is definitely like a solid motor. Like, you can take some abuse. It's designed well. They don't have oiling problems like RBs, you know, that type of stuff. So 2J is a solid motor to ride around in.
With the RB30, though, isn't it kind of similar? Because now you have
a... Right, exactly. It's a 3-liter also. So now you can really have that match up with 3-liter to 3-liter. You get the same type of feel there.
And minus the oiling issue, though.
Right. Yeah, minus the oiling issue.
So to combat the oiling issue, do you guys add more oil by, you know, making a bigger or adding a bigger pan? Or how do you guys...
All right, so I'm not going to fully give away my secret, you know, because I want you guys to come to me. But we definitely use head drains. All right? We definitely use head drains. I've been using head drains. Actually, what I will say is you use head drains once you go past, like, 500 horsepower, right? Because the problem with RBs and the oiling problem, a lot of people complain about the pump breaking and stuff like that, but it's really just the pump's so good, it pumps all the oil out of the pan, leaves it in the head. Mm-hmm. The drain holes are too small, so the oil can make it back to the pan fast enough, and that's why you wipe out bearings and stuff like that. Now, there have been quite a few people breaking oil pumps with too much limiter and stuff like that. I haven't experienced it, so I can't say, hey, damn, this is a big problem. I've bought RB25, his car, George's car, mm-hmm. like drift cars, and like you guys, like, we beat the hell out of these stock engines, like, just on the limiter, clapping it the whole time, and they live. So it's pretty much, if you know the platform, you can make it work with anything. I mean, as long as you know what you're doing, it's going to be good. And that is the oiling problem, the restriction going back to the bottom. So that's why I was saying head drain. Yeah, we do use head drains, bigger catch cans. Some of the catch cans return. You just got to do it. Like, a lot of people don't like to do it, but you got to do it. Oiling is a problem in RVs. We all know this.
Right. So why is it a big deal to do that if it's going to protect the motor?
I mean, obviously, it's because there's other platforms that people just think that it's an easier way to make power and they don't got to deal with oiling issues and stuff like that. I mean, the ultimate RB would have a dry sump, right? But that, the ultimate any car would have a dry sump. It's right. Well, like Ferraris and Lambos do that, obviously. So if Nissan had just, you know, put bigger holes in the block, we'd have been straight.
Is it expensive to add head drains?
No, well, no, it's not expensive. It's something like when you're doing your swap, there's different companies out there, PRP, Nitto, they all make like little head drains that you drill two holes in the back of the head and you run a line back to the turbo return. Or on a 26, it has, once you go single turbo, you got an extra drain port. You just run it back there and that's it. And that helps a lot. Some people say you don't need that, but from my experience, you need it, like I said, once you pass like 500 horsepower. Like, I feel like you definitely should do a head drain. Yeah, like, it'd be, if you know it works, you should do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Like, why not?
Definitely, you don't want to have that kind of power and
right.
all the work you put into it, just like.
Exactly. You
know. So when it comes to transmissions with the RBs, what is the best one to get for, let's say, 1,000 horsepower? Or just to have the extra room?
Well, so actually, Nissan Trans is a pretty good. Unless you get like an RB20 trans, which is like, they say the small box and the big box. The small box is RB20 box, big box is RB25 box, which is the same thing as the 300ZX, just different cation and output shafts a little bit shorter and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But as far as like RB25 big trans, RB26 GTR, 33, all of that is pretty much the same base trans as far as the internals are the same. And they all... more than capable of holding 1,000. It's just once you start drag racing and beating on third is where it starts stripping. It literally, the case flex and it strips third gear. Because actually my R34 was on 1,000 stock 5-speed trans and I could launch it 6,000-7,000 RPM and it's fine. But then my problem was when I got to third and I'd shift hard, I was stripping the gear. So that car been through like 7 or 8 trans, stock trans, like... obviously, back when it was
7 or 8.
Yeah, just, you know, I would literally just break and just be like, oh, I have another one, put it in. Because it was cheap. People just throw it away. Nobody wanted it.
How much are the stock transmissions?
Back then, I was paying like $300-$400. Damn, now, it's like $12-$15 for a used one with no bell housing, no transfer case. Obviously, because of the 25-year rule. Yeah, so I had enough of them where it didn't even matter, like... I'm actually mad I threw away so many. so many transfer cases. Didn't even care. And now everybody needs them and nobody has them. So,
damn.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive, though. But what sucks is that, like, you said you had the R35.
Yeah.
that transmission is not the same as something like an RB transmission, I'm assuming, right? Especially when it comes to launching it or making power.
Right.
And they're expensive. Have you driven the R34?
Yeah, I've driven the R34s before.
What, so between the R34 and the R35 driving experience, what's your
I'd rather drive a 35. It's like more really? Like a new car feel, you know?
Who's the old head now?
You don't like the, you know, the JDM kind of raw feel to a car?
Yeah, I do. I want to get a 34. I just got to find the right one, you know? I got to like time travel or something to get the right price.
GTR or?
Should I get a GTT?
GTT?
And convert it or whatever I really got to do. Whatever the right price, man, because they're tripping right now.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
So this is actually a GTT, right?
Whoa, don't be exposing me now.
Well, all right. You know, people always get upset about that. Well, I don't even know why it matters.
The internet just love my car, you know, because it has a GTR badge, and that just pisses off all the people that don't have a GTR, which is pretty funny. All right, so I've had this car before the 25-year rule, right?
Yeah.
You know, however it got here, I bought it here. It was a GTT. This is my dream car, so I was like, you know, stoked to be 25 and have an R34. But the goal was a GTR. Mm-hmm. So everything I did was towards getting it to be like a GTR. So like the first thing I did was make it all wheel drive and put like fiberglass wide fenders, make it all wheel drive. And I actually did 30 at the same time. And that was like the best thing ever because it looked like a GTR or whatever.
What do you need to convert it though?
So if you're going to convert a GTT to GTR, you need front subframe. You need somebody that know what they're doing, right? Like me, right? So just hit me up. Y'all need to get the all wheel drive conversion now. You're going to need some money these days because everything's expensive. So front subframe, I used the stock rear subframe, but I did use like R32 rear diff, GTR rear diff.
Mm-hmm.
R32 front diff, because this car is 5-speed. If I had 6-speed, I could have used all the 34 stuff.
Okay.
But all that stuff is more expensive. Good thing with Nissan, they like to make everything pretty similar.
Yeah.
So like the 32 GTR diff just bolted in there. I did have to change the hubs to put the big axles. I had to modify the tunnel so the transfer case could fit in there. And I had to get an all-wheel drive controller. And I think I had to get the Tesla pump. That's the pump that controls the the center diff for the all-wheel drive system. And I mean, that's pretty much like the main stuff. You don't have to cut towers or anything like that. The cars are so similar that it's almost a bolt-in swap. Like it's
right.
That close. It's kind of like how, you know, Hondas have the bolt-in all-wheel drive swap now. It's that close. Like somebody figured it out. But Nissan already figured it out when they made this. It was like, yeah, you can make it all-wheel drive.
Right.
The right way to probably do it, well, I would say the right way. The easiest way to probably do it is buy a GTT. Damn, what is it called? They make a four-wheel drive GTT. So it comes RB25, four-wheel drive, frames already notched, already all-wheel drive, front subframe, rear subframe. All you got to do is just swap drivetrain, put RB26 in it, you know, put it a bigger rear diff and big axles, and then you pretty much have a GTR.
A GTR.
Besides not having a VIN, right? So...
So can you spot a GTT that's a GTR or a GTT that's converted to a GTR?
Yeah, there's a few ways you can do it. If the hoods pop, you can tell. Obviously, the VIN plate's there to tell you it's a 25 car, or the fuse box is different. Obviously, the body, it's a little bit narrower.
Mm-hmm.
So you can tell if, you know, they modify it. But most people can't even tell if my car is converted. Like, it's been done so good. Yeah, that's a few ways you can tell. Obviously, like, the rear bumper is different. If they did a whole fiberglass front end, you can tell. Like,
all the lights are the same?
Yeah, the headlights are the same. So, like, if you have a base model that doesn't have HIDs, but if you got a turbo GTT, like, most of them came with the Xeon headlights. So,
right.
It's the exact same headlights. It's, yeah. I mean, the frame rail, you can tell. You know?
Right.
But other than that, and obviously, if you see a front axle, you know it's a GTR. It could be converted, but usually that's the way I look about telling if it's the real one or not.
Mm.
Interior giveaway, big giveaway. But interior. Half of the world don't even know what a GTR interior look like.
That's true, because most of the people, yeah.
Because most of the people see my car and they're like, oh yeah, nice GTR, man. Like, you know, I ain't gonna lie. I don't take it away from them. I'm like, hey, chill. Don't call it a GTR, because my goal was to have a GTR. You know what I'm saying? So I'll let them say what they got to say. But if they ask, hey, do you convert it? I don't care. I'll tell them, hey, it's converted. They'd be like, damn, I can't tell. I was like, yeah, but it's converted. It was a GTT. It does everything just like a GTR, though.
Yeah.
So it's my GTR.
But don't you think you could have just spent the money just to buy a GTR with all the shit you spent?
I don't know. Like, see, that's the thing right there. See, like, if I had money,
you see what I'm saying?
If I had money, if I had money to spend at that time, back then a GTR is probably like $60,000-$70,000 for like a nice one.
But what is it now for a nice one?
Like 180, 150 maybe, you know? So
how much you pay for this one before, like bone stock?
Probably 30-ish, somewhere there.
I would have just fucking took out a loan or something.
Who's going to give me a loan, 60, bro? Like, what are you talking about?
Actually, 30K?
Yeah, you think they're going to... It's not that easy to get a loan.
I mean, you don't normally think like that when you buy stuff like that.
But back then, the next problem is like, who has a GTR in the States already? 7 years ago, you wasn't seeing GTR posted everywhere for sale. Like, good luck. So
there was only that one time when they brought a couple in, right?
Right, and those were expensive. And then some of them got pulled back, I think.
Right. I forgot what the name of the company was.
Motorex or something.
Some shit like that.
Yeah. I've been paying attention to all that stuff, but I didn't care. I don't care to have a... I just needed a GTR, buddy. A R34 body to start with. Because my car before this that was all-wheel drive was a 240 with all-wheel drive stuff. So what, I had a fake Skyline then, you know? I don't care.
I think a lot of people who complain about it are more like, I guess, fans of the car.
Yeah. I get a lot of like hate on the internet for that. Oh yeah, you got a GTR badge, take it off. And I'm like, well, where's your GTR, right? Like, I mean, half of them don't have, like, you know, I ignore them most of the time. I ignore them, but there's always one or two that you definitely got to push their buttons, you know?
Right.
So it's funny to me. I don't care.
So this is your fastest car, right?
Yeah, this is definitely my fastest car.
You have a CJ as well?
Yeah, I got Supra. And Supra. I got a Toyota Chaser.
The Supra is obviously your second fastest car, I'm assuming.
Damn.
No, 35, right?
I don't know. My Supra is faster than my 35.
Yeah. Sheesh. Explain to me what that's like. Like, you have 15 cars and you want to just go out and drive one of them today.
It's a lot of insurance money.
That's the kicker. Insurance.
I didn't even think about insurance. You gotta get
a license. It's a lot of insurance money.
All these cars are insured at once?
Right. Yeah. So, like, as long as they're running. You can always just put a car in storage. It's still insured, but it's on storage. So you can park something and just put in, you know.
I didn't think about the insurance.
So that's the thing with having that many cars. It's like, you got to have insurance to drive them, because then you don't want to go out there and something happened to it. But me, I drive, you know, I probably try to switch between one or two in a week.
Like, are any of these drift builds?
Yeah. Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Yeah, full drift car.
Just one. But you, what about the other cars?
Like, oh, yeah. No, those are my Hot Boy 240 is a full drift car. He has a Hot Boy 242.
Yeah.
It's drift cars. The problem is, like, with drifters, is like they want to drift everything. So I literally drift everything. The truck gets drifted. The car gets drifted. I mean, the 35 got drifted, too. Like, one time it was a two-wheel drive. I drift that, too. So I make sure I at least see what it can do. This got drifted, too.
This?
Yeah, I drifted it.
Isn't that your intro?
Yeah. Well, no, that was the old intro. It was doing donuts in the cul-de-sac for sure.
Right.
I was drifting or control donuts, not just ease.
So you guys have chasers too? Or just...
I sold mine. I'm not a chaser fan no more.
It's a good car to drift with, right? But it's pretty common for a lot of the guys, especially the influencers, to get those cars as well.
It's a Camry. Like a rail drive Camry. That's the easy... That's the easiest way to put it.
It's a Camry?
Yeah.
It's a Camry.
So, like, all right. See, that this is where I could actually kind of say something about having a lot of cars, too. So, like, my Chaser, man. Chaser's expensive right now, right? And, like, man, if my Chaser, I paid under $5,000 for my Chaser. But obviously, I have the ability to source parts and fix it. So, which is why I ended up with a Chaser. I got a really good deal. It's not that it's... the most impossible thing to find parts, you just got to know the right people. Because, like, I need a core support. I got lucky. Adam had one. So I got a core support right there. George has a Chaser. So I got fenders, hood, rear bumper. So the car is expensive, but I didn't pay that much money for it. So that's why I can afford to have so many cars. You know what I mean? Because of my ability to fix stuff.
I see. But if it's a Camry, why I get it.
It's rear wheel drive. Like, this is not, we're not putting, what is putting, McDonald's carts?
Yeah.
You don't have to put McDonald's carts under these to drift them. They're like, in Japan, this is like the drift car. Like, everybody has a chase at the track just smashing it into stuff. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like, the Japanese drift scene, like, when you go over there and you go to, like, Ibiza circuit and stuff, it's mostly chases, right? Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's mostly chases. It's chases, like, everywhere. They're reliable. They got 1Js in them. You know, they got RM54. They could take a lot of abuse. They make a lot of parts for them. Chase is actually pretty cool. I didn't want one before. You know, I know some people are going to be like, man. I used to sell out, but now I got one, so.
Yeah.
I can't really sell out.
Is there anything else that's, like, special about that car, though? Aside from the fact that it's a 1J and rear wheel drive?
Nah.
Nothing? No interior? No, nah. Like, special, you know, they technology or anything like how the R34s are?
They got that old Camry smell.
Like, yeah. Really?
Yeah, you know how the old Toyota
smell? Yeah, yeah.
They all do.
I think it's just the fact that it has a 1J and it's rear wheel drive, really. That's probably the coolest thing about it, and it's four-door, right? Because Toyota don't really have much four-doors that's rear wheel drive in the U.S., so, you know.
That's true.
All the fanboys go crazy.
Between the 1J and the 2J, you can take the heads and put them on the
Yeah. 2J? So there are a few different 1Js. They got, like, the non-turbo 1J. Mm-hmm. Then they have, you know, the first 1J, and then they have the 1J VVTi. So
okay. It's,
like, three of them. So, obviously, the NA1 sucks. It's a VVTi motor. It's what comes in the Chaser when you buy the base model, like me, you know?
Right.
And then you get the older 1J was not VVTi and it was square looking and boxy. It came in the older Supras. Those are pretty reliable to like 500. And then you have the VVTi one, which has the pretty valve curves, I would call it. It's nice and round. Those are good, like 550. And then there's the 2J. Just take all the abuse, right? They just stock 2J, 6-7 horsepower. Yeah. That's the one everybody wants, and then obviously is 2J VVTi. Now, you could mix and match as far as, like, everybody do 1.5 2J. Mm-hmm. They take a 1J head, put on a 2J block.
Because it flows better, apparently? That's what they say?
I disagree from my experience. I feel like the 1J head's very restrictive compared to, like, 2J VVTi or non-VVTi head because, one, the ports are small, the valves are small. What we did realize recently, though...
On both sides? Intake, yeah. And exhaust?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then what we did just realize is I'm running a NA head on my 2J and the my Chaser now. And, like, from the dyno numbers, it seems more happy. Like, it flows better, makes more power, less boost. So I think NA 2J head's the wave.
Yeah, NA 2J. Yeah,
exactly.
Right.
Which I've been seeing a lot on the internet, too. I experience it myself now because I did it on one of my cars. And I'm like, oh, okay. And the 1J stuff is harder to get parts for anyways. Cause
it is?
Yeah, 2J is here in the U.S., so that's the common thing, just like 2J and RB. RB is not here, so it's harder to get parts. So the 1J stuff is not as popular as the 2J. Like, you can just call someone up and get all the 2J parts you need. You get 1J stuff. Actually, he went through that.
Yeah.
His 1J head broke, and we needed parts, and it's, like, it's hard and expensive. Nobody have... like a regular option, they only got the ball option, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you got to put $4,000 into a head, you're like,
No, that's not.
A 2J, you could put, you know, $2,000, put some springs and valves and back on the road. 1J, you can't do that.
You have had a recent event earlier, like last week, right?
I think
it was, last weekend.
Yeah.
At T-Pain?
Yeah, T-Pain had his first drift event.
So you're pretty tied in with Adam LZ and a lot of these guys too, like Hurt as well.
I mean, it's pretty much because of drifting.
Did you invite yourself to the event as like a regular?
They're local events you just go to, and then obviously you run into people and people want stuff done or they need a part or something, and you meet someone and the friendship kind of grows from there. Actually, we were the first people to take Adam LZ to the compound down here. He came down and he hanged out at the shop, and then he actually went one time and then kind of got hooked and wanted to go again. He paved some of the holes out there and we went again. So way before he had his.
So you've known him for
long time. I think we know Adam for like 5-6 years.
Damn.
Yeah, quite a bit. Yeah, way before he had the LZ compound.
Have you guys been there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the compound?
I did some drifting there.
Is it similar to what you guys go to? Or
no, it's just concrete paved parking lot pretty much with some trees and a little pond, you know.
So is it a better experience for drifting over there? Or
I don't think anything tops the compound, man. Yeah. Like the freedom and recklessness at the compound is it's untouchable. Yeah, it's just untouchable. Like,
crazy. The adrenaline rush.
You and know? you can just do whatever. Like, it's a good time. No, don't Google it. Don't come, guys. Don't come.
No, you have videos all over the internet.
Right. So like you know, everybody's like, oh, somebody. I'm not gonna post the location, but I mean, yeah. I can't say, hey, don't come here. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to ruin something we have good that we've been going for so long.
Yeah.
So, but it's a good time out there.
So, do you ever plan on doing any like professional like FD stuff?
Actually, now that you bring it up, your boy's a pro spec driver this year.
What does that mean?
So obviously you got to go through Pro-Am. You do grassroots drifting, you get good, and everybody feels like, you know, I want to be a pro. So my bug kind of bit me, and I did Pro-Am here in Florida, U.S. Drift Circuit. Came third, so that gives me my pro spec license. So now I can go into Formula Drift. Pro spec is right under pro, so I'll be doing my first rookie year in pro spec this year.
Who was first and second?
I don't know.
Was it anybody that we know? Any
that one jet, right?
Oh yeah, the 13-year-old kid. He didn't beat me. He got his license the same time as me.
He looked 13.
He was 14. It was the 15. Yeah. It was Jay the Drifter.
13-year-old one.
Yeah. Well, we got our license the same time.
He's not 13.
Yeah. So it's like the top three people. Well, when he did it, I think he was 14.
He was.
Yeah, he was like 14 when we
call him
when
quick.
We think. No, call him. Hey man, how old are you? Yeah, I'm so the top three that won that year got licensed. But I deferred for a year. He went straight in. So he did his first year right off the bat. I'm going to do my first year this year.
Yeah.
I had to get myself right, you know?
Now, when you go into like a pro drifting event, doesn't the money automatically like jump up in terms of like what you have to have in order to compete?
If I think about the money, I wouldn't do it.
Well, I'm talking about like... To the point where you have to think about it.
Well, that's the thing, right? Yeah, you have to think about it. But like if you start doing the numbers, you wouldn't want to do it because the amount of money you're about to waste.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But hopefully, you know, I want the experience and hopefully we can gain some sponsors and stuff to help us make it through the season.
So you're going to need sponsors for that?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's not something you can just wing unless you're rich, you know?
So what are some of the biggest differences between where you're at now and like pro spec? Like that level, can you drift the same way, same car, same everything, or there's certain
it has to be per day rule book. There's no you can't bypass certain things, like, you know, like fire extinguisher system. You have to have a proper like what do they call it, suppression system. So just the safety equipment is just kind of out of the roof compared to like going to a little drift event in Orlando.
Right.
We all got to run the same tires. The car just has to be built a certain way, and there's no like ain't no cutting corners. You know what I'm saying? Like they're not gonna let you get away with XYZ.
Turbos don't matter.
Turbos don't matter. You could use V8. You can have as much power as you want, but then we're all stuck on the same tires. So if you have too much power, you know, and you can't put it down to the low tire, exactly.
Right.
So like I could go there at 12.1 horsepower, but I'm still in the same 255 like everybody else. So either I'm blowing it off, or my car's doing some magic trick and making it work. So I don't know if you guys out there, man, they're doing some magic trick with a lot of power.
And
I gotta figure it out.
This is your car that
BMW, I got E92 RB30 3.2. That's gonna be my pro spec car this year. I actually have two, so this is just the backup just in case.
Mm-hmm.
And we're building a new one right now to make it in time. The first round is actually in May 9th and 11th in Atlanta.
Okay.
Road Atlanta.
Not the same spot that T-Pain had his event, right?
Across the street from it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Across the street from Lanier. Yeah, like literally.
What made you choose a E92 chassis to kind of drift
it? Was free.
Also, you got it for free.
So I got the chassis for free. So I already did the 240 thing. I love 240s, you know. But I kind of wanted to get away from it and drive something else.
Mm-hmm.
And then the HQ guys gave me this chassis for free. And I was like, I saw like the top drifter driving one and, you know, the Eurofighter. And I started getting my head
I want that.
Yeah. So once I saw that, I was like, all right, I'll build one of these. And after drifting it for the first time, it was in New Jersey at Adam LZ Invitational.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or was it World Tour? It's World Tour, it's called. It was called World Tour already. I got first place and second chance top 16 the first night, and like the car drove good. Like the car got there, we never drove the car yet on the trailer. Some friends flew the axles up to me and we competed and the car did good. And after that, I mean, I just
that was it.
I'm hooked.
Was it a pain to swap the RB into this car?
No, just because I've swapped so many different engines, I already know what I needed to do. Custom engine mounts, custom tranny bracket, bang here, bang there, you know, wire it. It's a race car too, so I ain't got to worry about AC and the RPM gauge. And it's none of that. It's literally mount the engine to the car, make sure everything's aligned properly, weight distribution, and send it.
Similar setup to what you have here?
Yeah, actually, that wasn't, this 3.2 thing wasn't planned. When the crankshaft broke, we decided, oh, hey, Steve, man, you got this 3.2 sitting under the block, man. We should put it in a drift car. And crazy enough, Steve was like, all right. So here we are. This is actually the same exact bottom end that's in this car, built for like 1500, as RB26 head now, fully built, just not ported. So it's literally like almost a twin engine to this car and a smaller turbo. It's on a G40 1150, whereas this is on a 1450.
Use Garrett mostly, right?
Yeah.
Is there a specific reason why you choose Garrett over any other brands?
Like every other thing I do, man, I get the right price, I'm gonna do it. Perks of knowing Adam, you know, he always helped me out as far as turbo wise. So we all get Garrett's from him. So, I mean, I've ran Precision. I just kind of like Garrett just because the right price. And it, I wouldn't want to talk bad, but you know, like,
We're not gonna talk bad.
Okay,
let's be real here.
Like real, I from my experience between the two, my Garrett can take a lot more abuse than that smoke.
Doing what though? For drifting?
Drifting. Or? I just started drag racing with the Garrett on this car, so I can't really say for drag racing. But I know my Precision used to take a hell of a beating, but it definitely used to puff a little bit of smoke after beating on it a lot. And so far with the Garrett, like, man, it ain't smoke yet.
No
it's
issues.
It's been having a bad time because the Garrett's been on the car for like probably 3 years and like it's still alive. Still
so
doesn't
that
smoke.
Same turbo has been in there. All those videos, all those pulls.
Yes.
Of your car,
yeah. Anything that you've seen, the RB30 and the drift car, it's been the same Garrett after my Precision broke. I had no choice.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy because it definitely lives on the limiter. Now, just to defend Precision a little bit, I have friends. He has a Precision in his car. Sean cars a Precision.
You have any Garrett's
still alive?
Yeah, I think I had like, what, two?
Yeah, he got two Garrett's.
And any noticeable difference on your end?
No. I think all the Garrett's I have, they're all on built motors, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it revs fast.
Yeah.
So that
sounds good.
So what's the equivalent to what you guys have?
I think it's a 76.
He said, don't ask me.
I think it's a 76-75.
Yeah. This turbo?
Yeah.
And this one's a little bit smaller, you said.
Yeah,
right?
So this is like a 68-70. The G42s are like $4,000.
$4,000.
And then
for
like
a, turbo.
A Precision is probably like $3,200, $3,228, depending on the variations of how you get it.
Yeah.
Same thing as Garrett. It depends on what you add or subtract from it.
Right.
Depends on the price.
So do you feel like what you're paying is justified though?
Because yeah, for sure. Because then if I was to try to sell it back, the value's there because it was more expensive, right?
So right.
If I take a Precision off and it started at $3,000, they're going to want to give me, say, $1,500. If I start off at $4,000, I get $2,000. But if I'm not paying the $4,000, I pay $2,000, then, you know, I'm winning. You know what I'm saying?
So the price, it's not overhyped. It's not overpriced. It's
a lot of people say that, but I feel like that's just because a lot of them, like the drag guys with the Precisions and stuff like that. Like, yeah. I mean, you're just doing an A to B pass. You might blow a motor, goes through the turbo, destroys it. So,
okay. And
that fact to me, it makes more sense to buy the cheaper turbo, like a Precision. But if you're going to drive something every day, you don't want to stop at a light and then, you know, it puff a little smoke or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of embarrassing if you have, say, like I have an R35 and I have 258s on it and I stop at a light and it puff a little smoke. People be like, damn, nice car and he got smoking turbos. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of that. If you know you want to build something, like, I won't put something on there to make the car look bad.
Right.
You know? As far as like Honda now, you love Precision.
Yeah, I mean,
I just had to throw that in there so they could see the price thing. Because Honda guys, obviously, they work within their budget and they like Honda guys spend money. I get it, but you don't see Honda guys with Garrett's on their Hondas. That's very rare. Like, you know, like
back in the day, it was more common.
Like, yeah, because then we didn't have that much option. But now Precision has so many different turbos and so many options, and they always bring in something new.
Right,
and they do make power. Precision turbos make a lot of power.
There's cheaper turbos that you can get.
Yeah.
That perform pretty similar, right?
Actually, shit, I've used some China turbo, man, and it made some jam. I can't complain. I've used some like $150 turbo and made 500 horsepower, no problem.
No, I'm talking about like 1,000 horsepower.
So we can definitely get some of the cheaper eBay turbos, right? And make some power. I'm pretty sure like the like those guys that do like junkyard LSs, yeah, they always buy like the cheapest turbo they can, and they right. can make 1,000 horsepower on it. So, I mean, everything works, is just the reliability of it. Because I've definitely blown up some cheap turbos too. So,
so you blew them up on a dyno, or you blew them up after like consistently?
Oh, drifting and stuff. Yeah, like.
Oh, drifting.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, but no, you can't blame drifting, bro. If your turbo is good, it should take drifting.
Not. Well, like you said earlier, like if you're going to drift the car, it's going to hurt the, you know, the longevity of the motor. So I'm sure other parts that are on that motor are also going to take a beating as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I guess
turbo
that's
might go first, if anything.
Yeah. Hayden turbo definitely went.
So so you said the Pulsar earlier, you made good power on it and it was cheaper, right?
Yeah. So the Pulsar, I guess they're like the same manufacturer as Garrett. And at first, the first two Pulsar I did, I'll put it out there. I wasn't happy. Like for the amount of boost, it wasn't making power. But then I did Pulsar on my Chaser that I actually got free. And I was impressed. 22 pounds of 3770, which is like a Garrett. And it made 500, no problem, real easy. So I don't know what was up with the first ones. Maybe something was wrong with it. I know he's going to see this. So he's going to be like, yeah, man, I thought you were talking shit about Pulsar.
No, but, not at all.
Right? I mean, and then, yeah. No, I'm just talking about the customer that gave me the free turbo. And Body and them came by with a Pulsar on a car. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I was impressed because it made 1,000 horsepower pretty easy. I'm not going to say what car it is, but I was impressed that it made 1,000 horsepower.
Now, do we know if they last, those turbos?
I don't know. I haven't had a test. I mean, I think I saw my Chaser smoke one time, but it could be the engine. Because I did some, you know, craziness with that engine to make it work. But I definitely saw it. I can't really say. I guess I got to use it a little bit more to see on a proper build. The Chaser was kind of reckless.
How do you know the smoke is from the turbo, though?
Usually after, like, you come off of doing a pull. Like a turbo smoke like that. Because once you get the heat in the exhaust, it'll kind of like burn the smoke off. Or if you let it idle too long, you'll see it smoking.
It wouldn't be anything else?
Nothing. Usually, I mean, it could be valve stem seals, right? Piston rings, you'll have blow-by, so it's not piston rings.
Right.
It's usually started turbo. It once you start seeing smoke out of the exhaust, it's usually turbo, unless you hurt the engine pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hurt the engine pretty good, you're going to know, because the engine's going to sound funny.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why I can always tell when it's the turbo. Because the turbo is still spin, but if it, like one drip of oil makes a lot of smoke. Like people don't understand. Like one drip of oil makes a lot of smoke. So just imagine like a turbo putting constant drips in the exhaust, it smoked pretty good. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you do a lot of tuning here as well, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk about how you got into tuning?
Is that
more of like an experimental thing? Like you got
It was definitely I started out like, man, back in the days, like tuners was just, they're hard to reach, they're expensive, they give you a quick tune and get rid of you, you know. So I started playing with it myself, started getting into it. Yeah, so I do a lot of self, you know, I teach myself a lot of stuff because I'm like, I don't have patience. So if I could do it myself, then I don't got to wait on nobody. Like welding, I did the same thing. But yeah, I got into it more and more and more. And then actually, my friend I was supposed to be here, Troy.
Where, Troy, where you at?
Yeah, man, he late as hell. Trilogy Performance over there in Tampa. He,
Mr. K.A.
Yeah, Mr. K.A. Yeah, he started like, you know, like kind of mentoring me with the tuning stuff and pointing me in the right direction, teaching me stuff. And, you know, he does... a lot of different ECUs.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike me, I'm picky. I'm like EQTech and Holtec. I do a couple AM here and there, but if you give me the option, I would be like, oh yeah, just get Holtec, you know? But he does everything. So he's dipped his feet in everything and he's really good at it. So like he's literally living off of tuning, which is crazy to me because here I am running a whole shop for me to live and he just...
Yeah, tuners probably have the best lifestyle.
But it's also stressful, man, because as soon as like something breaks, they blame you. You know what I'm saying? Like the car could be in a dyno and make 20 pulls at 1,000 horsepower and be perfectly fine. And they drive down the street and like the check engine light come on and they're instantly blowing you up. But like, it was fine in a dyno. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But So it's kind of like it's a trade-off with that because like my stressful thing is like I blow somebody a car and it doesn't want to start the next morning or it blows up, and you gotta like, especially remote tuning, like you gotta like trust that that car is solid and I tuned it and it's good, you know.
Yeah.
So like you can get a bad name in the tuning world real fast. So the whole reason why we have a dyno here is because I don't really do remote tuning. I have them come to me. If you really want me to tune your car, just bring it here.
Right.
Because that way I can hear the engine, I can hear that it's healthy, I can catch something before it happens, mm-hmm. and, you know, we can actually have conversation and you can explain to you X, Y, Z. I'm not guessing.
Right.
Oh, maybe the fuel pressure's dropping, you know, because a lot of people, they put cars together and they don't put sensors on it and expect you to know what's wrong. You know, like, I don't magically know what's wrong with your car.
Right.
Right. So, yeah. But that's how I got into tuning. And, yo, make sure y'all go follow my boy Troy, because he definitely looked out and helped me a lot in the tuning world.
Yeah,
sad he can be here. You know, he's on island time.
He can't talk about the KA because he wanted to.
Yeah,
man. To defend himself.
He's definitely a KA man. Yeah, record holding right now. You know, stock intake. I think it's eight. He's a low eights in on a KA. You know, the one that you're supposed to put an RB or SR in to make it fast. in a 240. And he's a driver too. Like he drives the car, he tunes the car. Yeah. Pretty crazy. I wish he was here to explain more about his setup and stuff.
He was giving me some good information last time I spoke
to
him.
Yeah, he's that guy. He knows a lot. Yeah. Like it takes a lot to go fast with simple stuff. You just gotta really know what you're doing, and he's really good at that. You can tell from the specs of what someone have how much power it can make reliably. Like you can have a pretty good guess of what it can make. So if you come to me and say, hey man, I want 1,000 horsepower, I got 800 cc injectors, can you make it work? I'm gonna be like, no, like it's not gonna happen. Like you need bigger injectors, you need more pump, so go do that. So listen to your tuner, go get that done, and then come back and you can try to hit your 1,000 horsepower, you know.
Right.
But a lot of people just, the internet again, oh yeah, he did it on stock pump, you know, whatever, he made XYZ horsepower. Yeah, he made that probably like two or three pulls in a dyno, but it's not gonna live there, you know?
Right.
It's gonna break or break up on the street, because tuning on a dyno and tuning on the street is definitely different. That's a big thing too. So
what do you, so you, that's a pretty like common thing. What's better, street tuning?
The street tuning is actually better because you actually get the car moving its own weight, but it's dangerous and you're risky, right? And then you can't catch certain things, you know, like you out there doing pulls and it's leaking fuel, car catches a fire.
Yeah.
You do a pull, you look under the hood on a dyno, or someone's looking, you know, you got cameras, you can catch it. So I would say dial in the tune on the dyno and then do a few pulls on the street. You know what I'm saying? So get your base and get it working, get your number, and then always just go on the street and do a couple pulls and log it. Cause that's just how it is. Like, even when they tune those big horsepower cars, they go to the track, they do a pull, they got to pull the log, look, and make changes, because it's always going to be different.
Right.
And it always makes more power in the street.
Have you had any major issues with any 2Js that you've built?
Yeah. Actually, this guy has. It's pretty funny. You tell you what happened. This is a fine example of not listening to your tuner. So when y'all hear what he had to say, listen to your tuner.
Some old guy, some senior citizen, told me I needed to get brand new injectors. But you know, I had some used
senior
injectors.
Citizen. Who's a senior citizen?
Old army vet.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Was telling me to get some new injectors, but I had old used injectors that were, you know, perfectly fine at the time. Mm. So you know, I put them in the car. I got the car tuned. He kept stressing me to get new injectors, and I'm like, you know, I ain't gonna spend the money. I don't need to, you know. Because the car works.
Yeah.
Drifted a car for like 5-6 months. And then like we were at the compound and I was giving a bunch of people ride-alongs. I think the car was like full of people. And like I'm drifting, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden it just starts misfiring and sounding weird. And I just kept going. And then once I got back to the pits, it's just smoke everywhere. Like,
was a senior citizen with you at that time?
He was definitely there and laughing and pointing.
Ah, I see.
And jumping up and down.
Oh.
And a whole lot of I told you so's. And how big was the hole in the piston?
Yeah, it definitely melted.
Oh, damn.
It melted a cylinder. Like, one injector started failing.
It's like off that of a failed big, injector. The hole in the piston.
Yeah,
so
that, yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, it just ran lean. And when it goes lean, it gets hot.
It gets hot,
melts
yeah.
stuff, yeah. So He melted a hole in a piston.
So that motor, that whole motor was...
Yeah, I mean, he could have used the next five pistons, but... I think we got to fix those. So he ended up using the rods and getting a new block, and then he bought pistons, and it's back together. And that's why the IS is down. But it has a fresh motor to go in it. We just haven't had time to put it back together yet, so...
So why didn't you upgrade the injectors?
Bro, I said I got 15 cars. Most of them were projects, you know. I think the problem with having so many cars is like you have a ratio, right, of cars that run, cars that kind of run, and cars that don't run at all, you know.
Okay.
So it's like trying to get that ratio to be at the point where you have more running cars. It's hard, you know.
Oh, I'm thinking all these cars are running. That's why I'm like, how do you got 15 cars?
Dude,
like,
I blow up a car, next car. Hop in the other car. Crash a car, next car. Stuff. You know what I mean? And I start fixing them up. And it's like, I could never, I tell myself this every year and I tell him that. I want all my cars to run this year. And then.
Never happens.
Never happens. Because if running cars, it somehow breaks. Like the piston, boom.
Yeah.
Now the car is down. The
car's
down.
How long has it been down for?
Couple months.
Yeah.
Like well,
3-4 months.
It's more of like we just haven't put it back together. The engine's ready. It's just sitting on the stand.
So much.
But he had other options to drive, so you know it's not really priority. You know?
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah.
So that was the only experience you've had where, you know, nobody has listened to what you have said to do?
No, I mean it's a bunch of experience like that. But now, like since they can come to me with the dyno here, I could be like, all right, well I'm not gonna tune it unless you do X, Y, Z. I'm gonna make it run and get it working, but you need to upgrade this before you turn it up.
Right.
And they most of them listen. Most of them listen, exactly. Like, you know, like they see they're not getting their number goal. I'm not going to push it to try to make your number if the car can't do it because you're not going to rule my name. Already you say you didn't make enough horsepower. Then I get you saying I blew your shit up. You know what I'm saying? And that's just the honest truth. So
have you been through anything like that? Because I feel like a lot of people have been through some early on in their beginning stages. They say like, oh, shit, like, nah. If you're going to do something, you got to come here.
I don't think I've really been through it yet just because like I'm pretty good at like just turning it down.
Right.
Like, hey, like it's not gonna work. Like
right.
I mean I have people came to the dyno and had their tune in their car and blew up, you know. I'm just like, oh, okay, all right, cool, whatever. But I mean, I wouldn't say I had like a bad experience with a customer car breaking.
Okay.
And they're like blaming me.
Right.
Right? I don't think so.
No,
I don't think I have that at all. If anything I ever broke it was probably mine. I break my cars a lot. But not as bad as him. He breaks car way more than me.
But you breaking your car and pushing it kind of helps you with other people's cars too, right? Because you know the
right, exactly. Yeah, and I'm kind of thankful for that because I play with my cars a lot. I'm not like, oh, just make a run and not use it.
Yeah.
Like I beat the crap out of my cars too. So
right,
like when I break something, I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm not doing that again. You know?
Yeah. So. Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's good because if I were to bring my car to you, right, I would probably want to go to somebody who is beating the shit out of the car.
Right.
And, you know, they kind of like, yo, you want to break shit, go ahead, figure it out on your own.
Before and that's actually like a big thing with RBs. Like a lot of people see that we drift RBs and we beat the hell out of them and they survive. So I get a lot of work just off of drifting.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying like, man, I want my RB to sound and take all that abuse like yours.
Right.
And not knowing it's a stock RB. Like, so it's pretty funny, but it has a lot to do with tuning.
Right.
Reliability has a lot to do with tuning. So.
What's the highest horsepower RB ever?
Ooh, like stock block or like billet? Because like billet is different. You know what I'm saying? Like they got 25, probably 2,800 horsepower that they not...
On a billet?
Yeah, on a billet. So,
okay.
But I think once you start getting like 1,600, 1,700 horsepower on like a cast 30, it starts doing the same thing. It cracks. You got to start filling it with concrete and all that stuff. So
they're basically just pushing it to the
limit. Yeah, they already did it. Just like 2Js, you know, like... You push it till you figure out where it breaks and then you figure out how to make it stronger. So we didn't have nobody here doing that in the US for RBs, but Australia had that over there, you know? So that's why RB is very popular over there.
So is there anything that we don't know about your car that you're willing to give out to the public? As to why you're making so much horsepower on this?
Nah, I mean, I think I know why it's not making more. I don't want to break it, you know? But it's no special secret. Okay. I have 6 injectors. You don't need 12 injectors, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need no crazy AGN1 coil setup, you know?
Yeah.
I have like R35 coils. you know, it's on pump ethanol. I'm not even on like some race ethanol. Like I go to racetrack and pump in 70% ethanol,
yeah,
and my car makes 1100 all day, no problem. So it's just crazy that, you know, some people are just like, oh, you know, you don't need this. This is what I gotta say, right? This is what I would say about the Florida situation. Anybody who feel they got a Fast Star 34 or, you know,
oh, I know he was going,
or Skyline in Florida, they need to pull up. They can race me, see who has the fastest RB, right? Let's find out. I would like to see it. I'll be at that Texas stuff. I know. I bet you we see a lot of fast RVs there.
GTR Festival.
Yeah, GTR Festival. So all these RBs that's making, you know, 12, 13 horsepower, you know. Mm-hmm. With no head drains, you can just pull up.
Yeah, hey, and we got money on it too.
But yeah, what's up? I mean, this is good though, you know, because like everybody's racing 2Js and R35s and Hondas. Mm-hmm. Nobody's battling RBs. I'll battle RB. Let's go.
Man, I'm just going to go off of what he said, man. If y'all think y'all got a 34 that can beat this with no catch can, no head drain, we got the money. And we ready to race y'all.
To me, I honestly feel like I have the fastest R34 in the United States because nobody else has a time slip saying 9.6 at 162, right? And that was with a shitty launch. Like, you know, my car left bogging.
What was your 60 foot?
It was like 1.7, right?
Okay.
So like, which is crazy. But yeah. But at the same time, it's like, it's no videos out there. There's no shops out there with an R34 doing it. Even though mine's a fake GTR, right? So, but you know, what's up? Like, where y'all at?
He was texting and driving when he was launching.
Right, exactly. I was in chill mode, you know. So
you probably could run like a, what do you think, high eight?
Like, yeah, like I'm gonna stop playing around because of this podcast. Obviously, it's probably gonna spark some, you know, fire in some people to get them to do some things. So I'll probably stop playing around. We'll take the car to the track. I'll put a tire back on it and try to have, like, you know, see what my fastest time slip is. Now, the goal of this car is not a race car, but I'm pretty confident we can get an 8 out of it, you know, like 8.8, 8.5.
At the track?
At the track, yeah.
Okay.
And once we do that and it gets all crazy, we have some new cars coming that's going to be more race-related, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, the next thing, too, now, don't get no RBs and put in a 240 and put auto trans and go sevens and come at me. You know what I'm saying? Come at me at a 34 or 32 or something and we can do something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, let's be fair. H pattern, it's sequential, whatever.
Right.
Don't put a freaking TVH 400. If I wanted to go fast, like as fast as I can, I'll just put an auto in my car and go fast. Australian guys are doing it and they're flying, right? They're literally six, sevens, like all day, every day, easily.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about like a street car. Like a legit street car. This car has AC, power steering, the whole nine. So, and everything works.
Right.
Even my stock seatbelts.
Shit, you got Apple CarPlay and all.
Apple CarPlay and all. A sub, you know? Yeah, so we do RBs. So let's do RBs, I guess. I don't know. You want to race? I want to race. I really want to race.
don't be scared,
I
want to
call Tommy out. I want to call Tommy out so bad. Hey, Tommy, bro, you and them K's, bro. You ain't going to be talking about my dog K like that, Tommy.
Yeah, I don't think Tommy cares. I don't really think he cares.
Nah, Tommy don't care about racing, man. I actually know Tommy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He just like his old HKS turbo stuff. That's all. Mm-hmm. He like twin turbos and all the authentic stuff. I just feel like in this modern day and time, my customers want newer stuff. They don't want some older turbo kit that was designed 10 years ago.
Right.
You know, that's just not it. That's a look thing that isn't real performance anymore. Like, you gotta go with the times, you know. So that's what he does. Like, he does Skylines. Like, he does a lot of Skylines, but he like to keep it that Japanese style. I'm over here like Australian and
performance.
Yeah, like
he's not into
putting a big single and making a lot of power. He's into you know, twins and it's HKS this, HKS that. That's his favorite, right, Tommy? He's gonna comment. Tommy's definitely gonna comment on it. I'm dead.
I think it's gonna get harder though as time goes on because these cars are getting more rare. That you're probably gonna have less competition as time goes on, to be honest.
Nah, I mean, it's some guys out there, man. Honestly, It's going to be more GTT turns into GTR. Don't worry. I'm pretty sure that's coming because the GTR market is just, it's too expensive. Like, yeah. It doesn't make sense, especially if you're going to race it. It doesn't make sense. You buy a $150,000 car, unless you got money, like R35 guys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, do that with it. Because those cars are just going to keep going up. Right. I don't think it's going to stop where it is now. It's just going to get worse.
Right.
They're going to turn to like $1 million cars. 100%.
Awesome. I got to get one before.
Yeah, because the whole world right now is fighting over all the GTRs in Japan. And Australia got most of them.
Why don't people just go to Australia and buy one?
Because they're already expensive there. Mm. They're just as expensive as the US.
Yeah.
If not more. They have a lot of them, but they gatekeeping them 34s. They expensive over there. They're just as expensive, if not more. Yeah. Then obviously it's so far, you got to get it here.
Right.
So, you know, transport and all, so... Okay. I'm pretty sure they're going to be a lot more GTTs turning to GTR soon.
I can see it too, because the price, yeah, just makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense, especially if you're going to race it. Like,
and what is it, $50,000 roughly?
Yeah, you can probably score GTT 45, 50.
That's not bad.
You can get like an A1 for like 35 maybe.
And you spend, so how much money is into your car?
Does it count how much time I broke it or?
No, nah, just if like
I
one
was
time.
If I was to build this right now, yeah, exactly how it is.
How it is, yeah.
I'm probably at like 100 and something, probably 120, maybe so more.
Close to 200K if you were to buy a GT. Yes.
Yeah. So you minus can either have this built. You can have this built making, you know, 1200 horsepower, or you can have a stock one with a real VIN. Yeah, this started out as a $30,000 car, but it has everything to make it go fast. Right. Or you could just buy one and have it collected. But I'm pretty sure somebody buy one for 150, they're really not going to want to do all this craziness with it, you know?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, so they're going to just unless be like, your budget's, oh, like, it's an investment. Or some, yeah, shit. Exactly. It's like, oh, it's an investment. So me too, I feel like if I had a real GTR, I wouldn't be as reckless as I am with this thing.
Right.
Like, I go to all the race events and then I don't care. I'll race it until you almost crash it. That one time I almost crashed it, it kind of like makes you think like, oh.
What's next for you guys?
I think he's gonna run pro-am since he's, yeah, been, yeah, he's gonna run pro-am, try to, you know, at least get a license, whether he uses it or not, just do it just for the experience. You know, just that's how we are, just taking it easy day at a time, enjoying life.
That's
with
it,
with 15 broken cars or 15 working cars, you know. Either or.
It's crazy.
No other big events?
Nah, just literally travel the US and drift right now, really. That's okay. It, I mean, as far as the racing scene, I mean, like I said, I'll just obviously try to run a time, but yeah, I don't really have a goal saying like, oh, I'm going to drag race all year.
Right.
I'll go to, you know, whatever events Florida have. I'll go to GTR Festival, but most of my main focus is drifting this year.
So anybody can come here and build a drift car, or you primarily focus on, yeah, servicing?
Yeah, what's crazy is like I do a lot of drifting, but most of the cars I built is like street cars. It's not even drift cars. Okay. Like I build a lot of Supers and Skylines for street cars,
yeah,
not drift cars.
Right.
I don't think, yeah. I think the only drift cars we build is all personal cars.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have a customer base for building drift cars. Yeah, I build like street car that makes power. I do a like lot of 26, lot of 25, 2J. Mm-hmm. I try to stay there, you know. I try not to dip into too much of the other stuff. I think it's better that way, because like drift guys, some of them, you know, they try to not spend that much money.
Right.
So, but the people that want to drive around the street with 1,000 horsepower, they will spend a lot more money. So yeah. I try to do more of those.
I hope that we can kind of work on something in the future. Right. Not really going to talk about that right now.
Right, right.
But hopefully we can come together and make something happen.
Yeah, that's cool. We could definitely let me know. We could probably do something. And then, you know, maybe you should move to Florida or something. Hang out with the boys.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But I do appreciate you guys. Thank you for the hospitality.
And we still got to have that KA conversation with Troy.
I know. I wish
definitely
he was here.
Looking forward to that. Man, if Troy was here, it would have been a good one. As far as the KA commentary is definitely good. So,
I mean, maybe we can run it back with him.
Right. Well. Yeah, definitely. We should probably do that.
Or maybe he'll just get his own dedicated episode.
Right. For sure. Yeah.
So tell the viewers where to find you guys. Instagram, social media, YouTube, whatever it is.
Yeah. So you guys could find me at LeeBird_RB on IG, LeeBird on YouTube, and LeeBird on TikTok. You can also find the shop, MonsterPerformanceInc.com. And on Facebook, Monster Performance Inc. IG, the same thing. You know, just type in Monster and you'll find us.
What an A. Shit. Instagram, Jug Supreme. That's JUG, then Supreme. And my YouTube is Haitian Drifts.
Guys, make sure you go follow me on YouTube. Check out the channel. Like, share, subscribe. We do a lot of cool stuff on there. This is nothing compared to what we really do, because I can say whatever on my channel. I see y'all then.
You can say whatever here, too.
Nah, man. He was over here telling me I can't say certain stuff, man.
I never said that.
Maybe one thing.
I've never been in a video where I ain't cuss. So.
But yeah, definitely go check out his content. Because he doesn't cuss. I say curse. He doesn't cuss on there. And like I said before, you guys can check out all his builds on his channel. Make sure you guys like, share, comment, and subscribe. Keep listening on all streaming platforms. And I will catch you guys on the next one. Peace.